This is the House of Pop Culture. I am Anthony Donovan.
Amy Meredith.
Durwood Murray.
And Joe Reese.
And for the next hour or so, we'll be talking your face off about all things pop culture related. Now, this week is a rather interesting topic because pop culture is really far-reaching in all facets of the world and of our society and things like that. So tonight, we're going to be talking about how pop culture, TV, movies, music, theater, all the rest, has influenced fashion over the years. Because if you know us, you know the four of us are four fashion plates, if ever there were.
Well, two of us, because we have style to die for. We're not talking about necessarily good fashion.
We have style to die for. Joe has been rocking hobo chic since the early 80s.
I would say the 90s, because I had that cute little adorable look going, and I would rock, you know, the Ocean Pacific shirts and stuff like that.
You are still adorable, Joe.
Thank you.
Good Lord. But yes, so we are going to discuss the movies, the television shows and such that have influenced these things. I went and I pulled up a list of maybe some of the ones that we could like really talk about. Let's go. Yes. Let's go back. Let's go back to like the 50s.
Back in the time.
Let's talk about The Wild One. Marlon Brando, the leather jacket, white t-shirt. Hot. Motorcycle cab.
Holy shit.
Ow, ow, ow. Boner hitting me in the eye.
Anthony needs a moment.
Y'all don't even know. Marlon Brando in his younger days was quite simply God's blueprint for how a man should look.
And then, his older days.
God's blueprint for how a mountain should look.
Him in the score was hot.
But that look... Kind of inspired that generation.
Absolutely.
It still has an effect, actually.
Between that and then just all the James Dean.
Rebel Without a Cause. The red jacket. Yep, I mean, you know those looks.
And absolutely. Without that, we would have never gotten Fonzie.
That's true.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah, that's true.
Danny Zuko.
But I would probably say that look still resonates today.
Exactly.
Because you've got rockabilly. Mm-hmm. And, you know, those guys are all about that. And, you know, I love that it never really went away.
Because it's a classic
and
look.
It's simple. Yeah. I mean, you can get a 5-pack of white t-shirts at like Target for like $6.
And a pack of Lucky Strikes for $60.
And I'm sure you can beat up some rich kid for his leather jacket.
It's the easiest way to tell the man, fuck you.
Mm-hmm. But right around that same time, you also had like Marilyn Monroe in the 7-Year Itch with the white dress
over the grate. That was iconic.
Did women start dressing in loose fitting gowns that flew up over their heads?
First of all, that gown was not loose fitting. The skirt was, but that top.
It was like a halter top.
Yes. Because she had a lot to halter.
Yes.
So
Marilyn Monroe was a woman. Mm-hmm. And she wasn't skinny by any stretch of the imagination.
But she also wasn't as overweight as people make her out.
No.
She was thick.
No,
she
was. Apparently, they found a pair of jeans of hers, like going through a bunch of stuff, and they measured them to see what size in today's sizes she would be, and she would have been between an 8 and a 10.
Yeah.
Which is an average size.
For those of us completely ignorant to female clothes, can you give me an equivalent today of an actress who is about that size?
That's kind of hard because most of them aren't that. Kate Winslet.
Yeah, I was going to say Kate Winslet.
So she was hot is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Absolutely.
But if you take that, the hair, the dress, these are things that we still see today.
Oh, yeah, totally.
I mean, women show up on the red carpet and you go, oh, that's totally Marilyn Monroe.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yeah. She has to be one of the biggest fashion icons ever.
And rightfully so. She was so beautiful.
Yeah, so beautiful.
Wow. Damn, Joe.
Oh, my Lord.
But incidentally, Marlon Brando is also dead.
Yes.
But also around
that
same time.
So this could be the Fat or Dead podcast?
Yes. You also had a West Side Story that came out.
Where you also have that same kind of...
White
people dressing as Puerto Ricans?
Yes. Wait, but you also have that same kind of look with the guys. The jackets, the jeans, the t-shirts.
Well, because they were street toughs, weren't they?
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
So, I'm just saying.
With hearts of gold.
Easy, yeah, it's an easy... It's
Jets
an easy
and Shacks.
Oh, good Lord. If we move on to the 70s.
Moving right along.
What, do we just skip the 60s?
Well, there's a few in the 60s we could
do,
I guess.
You know, not anything like, you know, bell bottoms or, you know, tie-dyed or, you know, my wheel well. Just go right over
well,
that.
Well, I'll tell you one thing about the 60s if we can touch on that. On Laughing.
Yeah.
You know, there were a lot of women on that show who didn't wear bras. And that was a problem with the networks.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because that was quite simply the thing back then, to not do that. And, of course, Goldie Hawn in the string bikini.
Everybody knows her in the, you know, in the bikini.
Mm-hmm. I just love that era for fashion, that 60s.
The mod look is
the
really
mod, the mod look was, I mean, great.
The thing about the, well, yeah. Yeah, and things just the Beatles. Women. I mean, the Beatles, and then you take the more edgier aspect with the Stones and the Who.
You know, people just kind of looked at all the Marilyn Monroes of the world and went, "Put down that bloody sandwich. You're going to get fat."
A movie that came out in the 60s, but really wasn't 60s fashion, but is, to me, probably one of the icons of fashion movies, is My Fair Lady.
Oh, well, of course. Ooh. I mean, that's
with, well, classic. With the horse race scene and everyone in the black and white and the big hats. Yeah. You still see traces of that today.
Absolutely.
And that movie came out in the 60s as well. Barbarella, also in the 60s. Yes.
That hair, though.
Well, hey, what was Carmen Electra when she was with Prince, if not Barbarella?
That's a really good point.
Yeah.
Because he was big into that at that point, and she, you know, about it.
Well, I think I actually heard they were going to try to remake that, and I really hope they don't.
Why? Because the only thing that's cool about Barbarella is that it was so definitively of its time.
Exactly.
If you remake it now, you're taking away everything about it that made it unique and campy.
Mm-hmm.
No, I totally agree. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's jump over. Not that we won't get into the political side of why I don't like this guy, but his filmmakers. But for fashion, you have to mention Annie Hall in the 70s.
Right.
That was
Diane Keaton is still rocking that look to today.
She really brought Dowdy to the main audiences.
Here's my question about Dowdy that chic. Look.
It was New York hobo chic is what they refer to it as.
You mean bohemian chic?
No, I'm going to go with hobo chic.
Oh, hobo? Okay.
Is it a good look?
It depends. I think it could.
It became, well, I mean, I think
it could be.
It became a thing. That's, you know, it's the impact of it that really, you know. Which, because think back to that time. I mean, Annie Hall was like, what, the late 70s?
77. Yeah.
So you've got your disco glam thing happening. And, you know, this counter movement going on in,
so you have kind of in
New York and things like that. So it was interesting. It was a different take.
Well, was that so we could say that was almost like the first hipster look?
No, because I don't think the intention behind it was specifically to be contrary.
You know what? I kind of am going to go with you on this, Derwin.
Although Diane Keaton, bless her heart, she does have a great curled mustache, but... You know, I don't know if she necessarily laid the groundwork for that, although I will say she inspired a whole generation of dowdy lesbians.
Yeah.
Yeah, no doubt.
Well, because you have to think, too, in the same year, you had Saturday Night Fever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where you're rocking the total disco look.
And Star Wars with Princess Leia's cinnamon buns.
But what I find interesting, though, about Annie Hall and Saturday Night Fever is both of those are set in New York.
Right.
In the same year, but you've got two definite different looks there.
It's like I think that's a big city.
I was about to say, that's more of a comment about how big and how diverse that city is.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure you could have made about 4 or 5 different movies set in New York in that same year that all could have had totally different
and
fashion
statements
in them.
And are you saying that that most likely Woody Allen was not hanging out at the local discotheque?
I'm going to go with no.
No, he was probably at the preschool looking for his next wife.
Oh! But you do...
Burn.
You do have to talk about John Travolta.
Yeah.
In his white...
I thought you were going to say the black Speedo.
Oh, God, I tried to wipe that.
Hey.
Don't touch the hair.
I work hard on my hair, and you touch it. Anyway, wow, that sounded a bit like Adam Sandler. Anyway, work on my Travolta impression. This is so weird. That's more like it. Anyway, no, I mean, hey, Travolta was a major league sex symbol at the time. And, you know, I wasn't mad at it.
Derwood looks to disagree over there.
It's not that I'm going to disagree. He definitely was a sex symbol. I just never understood why.
Oh, me either.
Because I saw Welcome Back, Kotter, and it was just like,
yeah, no, I don't get it either. He looked like Nancy McKeon in Mandrake.
Yeah, no doubt. Exactly, yeah. Now, Juan Epstein, on the other hand, oh, that boy could get it.
Really?
No.
My vey. You boys, I swear.
Something about a Puerto Rican Jew.
It brings all the brothers to the yard.
Well, John Travolta, though, the year after that was Grease.
I don't necessarily know that Grease
brought back the look of Greasers. Brando.
Yeah, and badly, if you ask me. You know, and it was a campy piece about, you know, well, I mean, Grease is, you know, a fun musical with absolutely no moral redeeming value whatsoever.
Well, basically. No, because I will tell you the reason why I throw it in here because of that is because it taught girls one thing. If you want a man,
become a whore.
Dress like a slut.
Yeah.
Well, isn't that true?
Tell me about it. Stuff.
At the end of the film, Sandy
change everything about who you are to land a man.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I'm surprised she didn't dye her hair black.
It's true.
Nobody wanted Frenchie touching their hair.
True. Unless she was a hooker.
I see what you did there.
Please don't play the harmonica.
Stockard Channing was 30. Anyway.
Oh, yeah. Stockard Channing was 33 when they filmed that.
Lord. She's one of the oldest people to play a teenager in a film.
And she was my favorite character in it.
Oh, she's awesome.
I got mad love for Riz.
Fine, we'll jump
the RZA.
We will jump to the 80s in movies.
Nothing fashion happened in the 80s at all.
No, I said we're jumping to the 80s.
No, that's what I'm saying.
So
I'm saying.
Are we gonna be nice about this, or are we going straight to Leah Thompson and Howard the Duck?
No. Okay. Well, we're gonna start in 1980. One of the ones that popped up on in my research was Richard Gere in American Gigolo, bringing back the sexy man
again. Not mad at it.
But
not
in the
mad
movie,
at it. I mean, I ain't saying I'd go gerbil on that shit, but I'm just saying it's not mad at it.
Weeks,
let me be clear. Not mad at it.
Because this was one of the first ones in the 80s to show, well, manscaping and the Metro Man. It was.
It's true.
He goes
and he's full frontal in that, right?
It's been a while since I've seen that one. I'm not sure.
I think I may need to Netflix then.
Yeah, for a few reasons.
Yeah, no, this is your first like look at, you know, the Metro Man.
Was that, now here's my question about that. Was that something that kind of caught on then, or did it kind of just, was it just the thing that happened then and then it just kind of picked up in like the late 90s?
I think it definitely existed because it was so beautifully parodied in American Psycho.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
In the 80s when everyone was so self-obsessed.
Yeah, good call.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, now are we still sticking with movies before we jump
We're doing movies only.
Because I have a great one for TV from that time, but I also have a great movie that just came to mind.
Okay, in the 80s?
Yeah.
All right, what you got?
Demi Moore in St. Elmo's Fire.
Oh, my God. Her wardrobe in St. Elmo's Fire.
But and that's the thing that cracks me up, because I am at an age where, you know, I was a kid when that movie came out, but I very clearly remember that time. And, you know, I was a preteen, and I remember girls actually looking like that. And now I look with my adult eyes, and I think, wow, the cocaine! Because it's so ridiculous! It looks like somebody killed a clown and then used the dead clown to beat the shit out of Demi Moore! Like, what happened?!
Did you
put on your makeup blindfolded back then?
I don't get it. It's 100% true.
Yeah.
1983, Flashdance.
Oh, well, yeah.
Off the shoulder sweatshirt.
I rocked that in kindergarten.
I was a kid at the time. This is what's so funny. I was a kid at the time. I was definitely not old enough to watch this movie, but I was a dancer. So my mom and my best friend, her mom, would let us watch movies that had dancing in it. They would not let us watch the whole movie because it was R-rated and we weren't old enough to watch it, but right. They let us watch the dance scenes, which made no sense to me after I got older, because I was like, so they let us watch the stripping.
they just thought the sex scenes would be so shocking you'd all spill your drinks.
But there is no sex scene. That's the thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, the leg warmers.
It's funny because I remember when we were gonna do this podcast, I was thinking to myself, I had a struggle in my mind about how much society is influenced by movies and pop culture, and how much society actually influences pop culture.
Oh, totally.
But you brought that movie up, and that's one that was definitely the movie influenced society.
Yes.
And yeah, it was like night and day. When that movie came out, you saw those trends.
Yes.
On the street.
Women everywhere were cutting that.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
I think that's a beautiful segue to the next movie I'm about to bring up.
Breaking.
Oh, yes. My Lord, yes.
Because that movie was the first exposure that a lot of suburban white kids had to hip-hop culture.
Absolutely.
And I can tell you for a fact that heavily influenced both mine and my brother's wardrobe.
No, but here's the thing, though. You mentioned suburban white kids, but also for the kids who were actually on the street actually breakdancing, before that movie came out, they would just go out there in clothes and breakdance.
Yeah.
You know, it was just about the dancing. That movie comes out, and now there's a statement that's being made via their dance and also what their fashion is.
Mm-hmm.
All the breakdancers, you see them now, they're going in the costumes and they're being more theatrical with the way they dance, mm-hmm. present themselves, and the way they put their crew together. And that's, I'm glad you mentioned that, because I wasn't even thinking in that direction. But yeah, it had a huge influence on not just suburban white kids who had never seen hip hop or breakdancing, but even breakdancers who knew what it was. And they see this on the big screen, mm-hmm. and they see what it could be. Oh, man.
Poor Ice-T.
Poor Ice-T, my ass. Getting residuals from
that
SVU.
Shit on film. Yeah, yeah. Look how ridiculous he looked.
Yeah, but I'm sorry.
We can say that about most actors.
Guys should not wear belly shirts. And Turbo, like...
If you got abs...
No, guys should not wear belly shirts ever.
Look, I'm saying, though, when you do your backspin, you don't want to be totally shirtless. But you still got to show the abs off. So you go belly shirt.
Well,
I ain't mad at belly shirt.
I am showing up to your next birthday in a belly shirt.
Now,
I demand that, Joe.
Dude should not be wearing knickers with tube socks pulled all the way up. I said knickers, short pants.
Nutters and knee socks.
Also in the 80s, speaking of that, Desperately Seeking Susan.
Oh, yep. Well, I got a whole bit about Madonna when we get to music, but. Yeah. But yeah, no.
She inspired fashion? I don't believe
that. Yeah, right. Okay, well, let's stick with the 80s, though. You have to go John Hughes. We have to go Pretty in Pink. What?
Yeah.
I just don't like that movie.
Molly Ringwald,
don't like the movie.
She looked kind of ridiculous in that movie.
Yeah, throughout.
I think they went a little too far at that point. I found Pretty in Pink to be very affected.
Really?
Yes. Unless I'm thinking of The Pickup Artist.
I think you might. I don't know what you're thinking.
There was some movie in the 80s where Molly Ringwald was wearing a bunch of, like, more kind of cutting edge Art Deco-y 80s-y stuff.
You were thinking, no, you're thinking of Betsy's Wedding.
No. This was way before that.
Well, no, Pretty Pink is the one with Annie Potts.
Yeah. Okay, then that is the movie I'm thinking
of.
Oh, well, no.
And, you know, Ducky.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, at the end of it where she makes her own prom dress.
Yeah. And we're all supposed to be like, oh, wow.
Yeah,
really,
it's a shitty
dress.
Wow.
Because Molly Ringwald was a big fashion icon of her time for young girls. And I think that they were trying to go a little too far with it at that point. They were just like, all right, well, let's see where else we can push it. Because you can't manufacture trends. You can't.
That's a question I have about why Molly Ringwald was a fashion icon. Because I compare it to somebody like who's also at the time like Madonna.
Mm-hmm.
And we know the effect that she had. And I think the reason why she had the effect she had, and I'm sorry if I'm going to be stepping on your toes with what you're going to talk about later, is because she was so different, but owned it so much. And every time you saw her, she just filled your whole room with presence, and she was everything. And is it Molly Ringwald, though? It was more like she was always cast as the pretty girl.
But well, she's the every girl.
Yeah, exactly.
Is she really every girl, though, or just the most popular girl?
I think the thing is, Madonna, there was a certain group of girls, and some boys, that, while they may have enjoyed that look, didn't have the confidence to pull that off, whereas Molly Ringwald played more the...
Yeah,
for lack of a better term, average.
You could wear her shit to school,
right?
Yeah,
and not get in trouble,
and not be, like, you know,
mistaken for a hooker.
You would fit in, but you wouldn't stand out.
I got you.
Okay. You know, yeah, no, she, you know, she did the multiple belts and the long skirts and the boots and the different, like, the big puffy sweaters,
yeah.
And she, you know, it was an easy to replicate girl next door.
It was also a preppier look at the time.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was a preppier look.
And that started with Breakfast Club because she played the bitch.
She played the prep in that.
Yeah.
Also in the 80s, we're going to go baggy and big. No. Working Girl.
Oh, my Lord.
Fashion for adults.
It's worse.
No, I'm glad you brought that up, actually. Because
The shoulder pads are in the house, people. Yeah.
I would be willing to bet that the Aquanet used in that movie took out at least a third of the ozone
Joan
layer.
Joan Cusack's hair in that film is fantastic.
It's epic.
Well, and you also think of other movies along that line. You think of, like, Wall Street.
Right.
And where you have all these very, you know, the yuppie
Well, that was, correct me if I'm wrong, Working Girl was the introduction of the power power suit.
Pretty much.
It's crazy because you usually don't, because I'm thinking back, and you usually don't see, at least, okay, so throughout the 80s, you usually don't see the influence on adults as much, mm-hmm. but right. with something like Working Girl, Wall Street, like you said, in the 80s, yeah, you really had that effect on adults who are just like, oh, wow, I don't just want
and
to change
the fascinating
shit.
Thing about Working Girl is that you can see how much it changed from the start of the decade. Think back to 9 to 5 and what Jane Fonda wore in the office in that outfit. And then you flash forward to Melanie Griffith in Working Girl, and you just got a huge shift in the whole look. Because, I mean, Jane Fonda looked like fucking Tootsie. You know, like she had the little frilly blouses and the little skirt. Right. And, you know, and then you've got Melanie Griffith, who looks like, you know, Hitler's chambermaid, you know, just with the, from the future, you know. And
well, also, too, what I love is the scene where she's on the subway and she's got her sneakers on, and there's like all the other women who have like the sneakers on, and then once they get to the office they change into their high heels so they can run around. And
I remember seeing my mom do that when
I was working actually downtown. Like, you would see just during lunch breaks and stuff like that, you know, women in their sneakers.
And then it just became a thing where they came to a point where they weren't changing anymore, and it was just sneakers with their socks over their pantyhose with their work clothes. And it was just the thing they did.
Yeah, that's a good look.
Well, hey, I'm sure a lot of the shit we're going to mention today wasn't necessarily a good look.
No.
It was popular.
Most of the stuff is not a good look.
Yeah.
Sticking with movies, we're going to slide into the 90s with Pretty Woman.
Okay. Okay, no, I'm seeing what you're... Yeah, I'm seeing what you're saying there.
Richard Gere again with the power suits.
Yeah. And also, I think...
And the poster that actually wasn't Julia Roberts' body.
But also, too, you have to think about... That is also a fashion movie. Think about the shopping scene.
Exactly. I was about to say, when she made that transition and what came of that. And
that red dress that she wears.
Still can't believe that movie is regarded the way that it is. But
what do you mean?
It's a movie about a hooker.
Yes.
And
and she finds love.
It's a Cinderella story. Cinder-fucking-rella.
That's what I don't... get about it's like Cinderella. Women love that
Cinderella
movie so much.
Sucked a lot of cock. It wasn't a glass slipper that she dropped.
It's possible, Joe.
Wow.
Cinderella. Oh my god.
So instead of mice it would be rats.
This one didn't come to my mind, but I could kind of see the point. We're going to talk about both of these, and these are Quentin Tarantino, Reservoir Dogs and Pulp Fiction.
Because there was
a suit.
Yeah, but it's more like it's a costume piece, in my opinion. I think the fashion influence that had, and I think we can actually attribute this to Tarantino, is you got people who were now not afraid to actually wear a costume out. And what I'm saying by that is somebody who's emulating what Molly Ringwald wore, they're not copying her costume piece by piece. You know what I'm saying? And they're just trying to
they're getting
a similar look to that.
Right.
You know, Tarantino's films come out, and it's, in my opinion, around the start of the pop culture nerd. And you have people who are going to say, oh, that's what they're wearing. I'm going to find those exact pieces, and I'm going to wear that out.
See,
you know?
And that was a throwback to a bunch of other looks, too.
Yeah. True.
I mean, just the simple black suit.
Between Uma's hair in Pulp Fiction,
Uma's hair
and
her...
and Janine Garofalo in Reality Bites, how many girls went out and got Betty Page bangs?
Right.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But also, too, and it was also with Uma Thurman, especially in Pulp Fiction, it was the hair, the outfit, and her fingernails. It made black fingernail polish un-goth.
Oh.
Huh.
Because Chanel put out a black fingernail polish.
All right.
Because
Very
of that in the movie.
I'm feeling you on that. All right.
Yeah. Very and nice. I thought that was an interesting point. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't have thought Reservoir Dogs. I would have thought Uma Thurman in Pulp Fiction.
Yeah. It's like I said, it's the whole costume thing. Because it's so simple, you know? And it wasn't just as simple as a black suit. It was a particular black suit. It was like a skinnier tie, but not necessarily a skinny tie. And it was... Yeah, I just remember going to college. That movie came out in 94.
93.
I thought it was
94. 94 is Pulp Fiction.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're right. Yeah, and I just remember going to college in 95 and seeing dudes in the dorm going out on a weekend, and they would dress as if they were Reservoir Dogs.
Right.
Sunglasses and all. And they
oh yeah, the sunglasses.
Yeah. And I remember them actually comparing and making sure their ties were the right width. you know, to go
along
with it.
I was going
to
say, I mean, that's what, I mean, that really is the Blues Brothers look, just without the hat.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right.
No, true.
And which is, and that, what's funny, I mean, I can see around early, mid-90s where people are like, oh, Reservoir Dogs. But nowadays, if you ever wear, like, a, I mean, maybe it's because, you know, I'm a fat dude. You know, it's like, you know, you wear that outfit, people are like, oh, Blues Brothers.
Mm, yeah.
Like, that's usually what I see.
Well, there's a, there, you know, if we're staying in the 90s, particularly with 90s. Men's fashion, I mean, there's a movie that I'm sure is on your list that pretty much rocked the world of one gentleman in this room.
Yep, I know. I was thinking the same thing. I know what movie.
Swingers.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because that was right when the retro cool started to come back big in the late 90s.
As soon as I saw that movie, I got a wallet chain. I started wearing wife beaters, square bottom shirts, open down the middle. Yeah, that a huge influence. And not just me, but a lot of people I know. But yeah, that
hats,
man.
Fedoras.
Oh, fedoras, yeah. Oh, of course. Yeah. That all came from that movie. Swingers, yeah.
Beautiful babies.
Oh my lord, the two-tone Stacey Adams spectators. Oh, man. I need to start rocking that look again, actually. That
that's
was
a good look.
Times.
That's a good look for you.
It's an expensive look, but it's a good look.
Yeah.
But man.
They were so skinny in that movie too.
I know.
Oh, I know.
Vince Vaughn and John Favreau were
Vince
just...
Vaughn is like, dude, are you okay, skinny? Like, because you know, you think about him now, you're like, okay, he's a little pudgy, but like not like you think he's not like Favreau.
You guys remember when Vince Vaughn was a respectable actor?
Not really. I gotta be honest. No.
Early on,
Swingers was just a whole bunch of jackassery. It worked for that character,
right.
But he was. I mean, he had some Clay Pigeons and but yeah, he had some stuff kind of in the, you know, the mid to late 90s, and then it went to him doing, you know,
every stupid comedy
donor, whatever. Whatever the hell that.
Sticking in the 90s, a Clueless.
Oh, oh yeah. Totally.
Big absolutely. Movie about fashion. Oh, I loved
rest
that.
Rest in peace, Brittany Murphy.
The closet she has where she can, you know, set her little computer screen to pick out her wardrobe for her to make it, you know, just perfect.
No, I'm thinking back to that time, and I just remember just the abundance of knee socks that came out from around the mid-90s because of that.
And brought back the platform shoe.
Yeah, and I just remember, seeing all the knee socks and just looking at all the girls and being like...
And the blazers. She wore a lot of blazers.
Yeah, brought back the blazers,
you know, and
platform
it was,
shoes.
Well, I mean, Cher was essentially the Barbie of her time. It, you know, I can't imagine the number of girls that saw that movie and was like, oh, I have to have that. I so desperately want Paul Rudd as a stepbrother. I, you know. Yeah.
I think it was the first, when we think of fashion influences, I think it was, in my opinion, the best example of using retro to influence yet also push towards the future. At the same time, you know, a lot of times when we have a retro influence, it just kind of takes everything back. Like in the early 90s when there was kind of like the disco renaissance.
Right.
And everybody just starts wearing bell bottoms and platforms.
Mm-hmm.
It was just kind of it was a step backward. But with Clueless, we had these retro influences, but they also kind of pushed the game forward quite a bit, which I enjoyed.
Mm-hmm. Well, and, you know, because keep in mind, Alicia Silverstone had great outfits in that movie. But so did Stacey Dash.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, so that's...
Who still looks the same.
She doesn't change. She's
a
vampire.
She never ages.
Fine.
She's a vampire.
Stacey Dash. How about
like
your boy?
50 or something like that?
Something like that.
She's in her early to mid-40s.
She's a crazy Republican, too, but God bless her.
I bet she's an old teenager, too, though. She's sticking, like,
she's
got to
be in her 40s now.
I wonder how old she was when she did Clueless.
Help us, Internet.
Yeah, that's a very good question. You ever see her Playboy spread?
No.
You should.
Ugh. While Joe is finding that for us, here's the Matrix.
Totally.
Ooh,
yeah.
The long jacket.
Industrial,
And here's the thing, though. And like, contrary, though, to what I was saying about Reservoir Dogs and Pulp Fiction, that just had a straight-up influence there.
Yeah. Where the sunglasses, like, the jackets.
And I think there was that kind of sect and subculture already existing.
Of course, yeah.
But
it became more acceptable.
Absolutely,
And by the way, Stacey Dash is 47 years old. She was 28 at the time.
Wow, 28 playing the teenager. Good for you, Stacey Dash.
She looks amazing.
Yeah, she does. Mm,
yeah. Mm. So, yes, The Matrix. Big influence there.
Mm-hmm.
You had what's-her-face that played the lead in that, Carrie Moss. The slicked back hair and the sunglasses.
I loved her pants in that movie.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God, the leather. Awesome.
in the sequel, but her outfits in that, just that whole skin tight.
Am I the only person that didn't despise the other two Matrix
movies?
I didn't despise the sequel. The third one is shit, but the second one I didn't despise. It was just kind of weak.
Yeah.
You got to remember, because the first one was so mind-blowing.
Yes.
So mind-blowing that, you know, nothing else was really going to be able to
come. I remember seeing it like four times in the theater and still not being entirely sure what it was about.
Right.
And I don't know if you ever got to see the Animatrix, which was a bunch of different anime.
Oh, I saw that one, yeah.
It was a bunch of different little vignettes by different artists, and that was actually really good.
Okay. Also influenced fashion. One more in the 90s, talking about, again, I like to have the last one in the decades, influencing adult fashion. The remake of the Thomas Crown Affair, where you had Pierce Brosnan and
Rene Russo running around topless all the time.
You've not seen that?
I haven't.
Rene Russo is like topless a good chunk of that movie.
Why have I not seen this
movie? I don't know. I am shocked that you have not seen this movie.
All right.
I mean, she's never been my cup of tea, but the bitch is hot in that film.
Okay. Well, explain
and
to me how...
she's old, your favorite kind.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. All right. So I like my women with experience.
Like, she's looking a little Anne Margaret in that... In her heyday. You should watch this remake.
I'm gonna Netflix that shit. Okay. No, but explain to me how this influenced fashion,
because
I'm not familiar.
Because, again...
women running around topless.
Yes. Well, because she was older, and it made a... it was a big thing that she was running around topless in this film, and her clothes were very sexy. She plays a cop. Everything about her look was... I think it's the start of the Cougars.
Oh, okay.
Sexy and age appropriate.
Yeah.
Okay.
See also Unfaithful.
Yeah.
Oh, my Lord. Now that one I've seen.
Yeah.
Okay, and good call with that one. So if I can see the kind of influence you're having, that you're saying there.
Right.
And yeah, okay.
Good I am call. Shocked that you haven't seen
since
Thomas Crown Affair.
Trust
since
me,
you
I'm
brought
gonna.
Thomas Crown and Pierce Brosnan, something that, you know, kind of since the 60s, Bond.
Oh yeah.
I mean, just the rock and the tux and the proper
and that
bow tie
one,
and Americano.
What I think is interesting about that one, this is my opinion. Tell me if you disagree.
I disagree.
I think that with the James Bond movies, it was a great influence on men.
Yes.
But with women, I think it was more of a representation of what was already going on at the time. Does that make sense? Or
yeah.
Kind of to agree, agreeable? Yeah. But I mean, and the thing is really with him, it really didn't, for the men, it didn't really change much. Because, I mean, it was like, I mean, the tux has changed a bit, but, you know, because style slightly changed. But, I mean, just that it kept bringing, you know, and then, you know, it got too campy and then.
Yeah. But, I mean, you bring up a good point. But I think also the looks for men throughout times changes very little, you know, and it's just. What looks good on a man is very classic, and I think it's going to be a long time before that ever changes.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
A very long
time.
Oh,
and speaking of going back prior to the late 70s, something that talking about how, you know, men's fashion doesn't change much, but technically this is a throwback to when it was very different. Animal House and the Toga Party. because that made the Toga Party...
Yeah.
The end thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so I think that.
No, absolutely.
I hear you on that one. Yeah.
Whereas I believe.
The boy to this day likes making his own togas.
My uncle was telling me that when he was in college, because he was in college in the 70s, that they weren't called toga parties. They didn't have toga parties, but they had yard parties where you had a yard of fabric and you had to use that to cover yourself.
That's awesome.
Wow.
I like that.
Wow.
We need to bring that back.
Were his friends really skinny?
I was like, not in this group. We need a 2 or 3 yard party in this group. Moving into the, what is it
the
you always call it?
The Rolling O's.
The Rolling O's. Thank you. Here's the thing is that the Rolling O's, it's hard. That one was hard. There was a lot of movies that influenced fashion, but were not set in its time.
Here's the problem with that is that, you know, you get, by the time we pass the turn of the century, we're now in the information age. And in the old days, the decades leading up to it, we saw what we were shown.
Yes.
You know, by Hollywood. Yes. And now the culture, it's so exposed everywhere. It's represented across the board. So it's very hard to pinpoint a specific style of that time because everything was kind of, there were no rules left.
And so much of it, I remember, you know, because you had, when you think about the 60s, the 50s, the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, and even the 90s, there are one or two main looks you think of, right. depending mm-hmm. on if it's early or late, or, you know, kind of where you're looking at. You know, now it's kind of like there's so many things, because people are just taking stuff from all those eras, you right. know. Every once in a while, all of a sudden, the 50s came back. All of a sudden, the 60s came back. Yeah. The 70s. So it's like...
Everything was retro, and there were so many different groups of people doing so many different things.
That was the thing that I found interesting, that the major films that were mentioned were Moulin Rouge, Chicago, mm-hmm. Marie Antoinette.
All period pieces.
Mona yeah. Lisa Smiles.
Mm-hmm.
We're all kind of...
All period pieces.
And we're yeah. all set at different times. And I thought that was interesting. The one that wasn't, and even though I don't like this show or movie, but I would agree with it, is Sex and the City.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, definitely.
No, you're
and that goes
right.
TV and film.
Mm-hmm.
I would have to agree with that. That is probably your best representation of the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
One I think we forgot about.
Oh, also The Devil Wears Prada.
Oh, good call. One of my favorite yeah. movies.
Also, Fashion Montage.
Are we only doing movies right now?
Only doing movies. Oh,
okay,
at the moment.
Okay, never mind. Okay.
But yeah, well, we're almost done. Well, we're here. But that was the thing I found interesting is that the other movies are Working Girl is you see Working Girl and you go 80s.
Yes. Yeah. Good yeah. call.
You see Moulin Rouge and it's like.
Yeah.
It did influence yeah. fashion because it did.
Well, yes, but Catherine Martin took everything and threw it in a blender for that movie, which she always does for exactly. Baz Luhrmann's films.
But. It's the Rolling O's, but that time period really doesn't have, or the time period we're in right now, really doesn't have a defining look.
You know what you must do now, Durwood.
Yeah, no, I can make that happen. I don't think it has a defining look yet.
You don't think so?
Now,
Slinkies.
No,
hold on. Slinkies.
Bear with me on this.
I can get behind this.
Bear with me on this. In the 80s, when we were living it, like when we're looking at, you know, Pretty in Pink or The Breakfast Club. Did we see it and say, oh, that's a defining look, let me go and buy that now? Or is it because we can look back on it and mm-mm. say that was a defining look?
No, when it came out, it was, I want that.
Yeah.
And even then, even if you weren't fully cognizant of it, it wasn't that long after that right. you recognized it.
I hear
like,
you.
By the time the late 90s happened, it's like you were... Like, oh, yeah, 5 years ago, we were all in flannel and
right.
grungy
Not
and stuff.
Not all like. Of us. Some of us were wearing their jeans huge and backwards.
Thank hey, you. I went in my junior high, many a person wore cross colors. So, not right. me, because I was a 4'6 white kid.
We're going to move
looked
on.
Like Stuart from Beavis and Butthead.
We're going to move on to TV shows, which I didn't do in decades. I apologize. Okay. But I'll just throw this one out and then we'll start going from there. The Dukes of Hazzard.
Oh, my Lord.
Well, Daisy Catherine Duke. Bach rocking yeah. them well, Daisy Dukes.
Not only Daisy Dukes, yeah, talk about them Duke boys.
Yeah.
The tight jeans the and tight the.
And they carried pocket knives on their belt. And me as a kid, first of all, huge Dukes of Hazzard fan. Used to climb into my parents' car through the windows.
Durwood and I still want to run Shine to this day.
Exactly. They used to wear pocket knives on their belts, and I wanted one of those so bad just because them Duke boys did that.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah, huge influence. I was wondering why, because me and my brother were brothers, why one of us wasn't blonde. And because the one of us that was blonde should have been wearing a yellow shirt. Sure.
Yes, of yeah. course. But that the Daisy Dukes.
Yeah.
Yeah. John Schneider and Tom Wopat don't look a damn thing alike.
Well, they actually, they were cousins. In oh, Canada, the show, were. They were cousins.
Yeah, they were cousins.
And Vance and Coy were their cousins also, and I think they were cousins to each other.
There was a lot of inbreeding
so
in that family.
Uncle Jesse must have had a shit ton of brothers and sisters.
Oh. Well, they are hillbillies.
Yeah, it's true.
But yet,
Daisy was their cousin also.
The Daisy Dukes.
Yeah,
I mean, that was a totally. Huge influence.
Well, and
on
also 70s television. And I'll tell you what doesn't get mentioned, but even if it wasn't as much an influence, it was a great showcase of the looks of that time. Three's Company.
Oh, yes. Good call.
Oh,
yes,
God,
absolutely.
Yeah.
On everybody,
on everybody.
Yeah. Even Mr. Furley.
I would be willing to bet you there were middle-aged women dressing like Audra Lindley.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right.
Of course they were. The Mua Mua is a comfortable look.
she was the love child of Maud.
Well, and what about earlier, Mary Tyler Moore?
Well, oh, absolutely.
God, yeah.
Speaking of professional wear.
Yeah.
That hair, though. That flip that she would do?
I wish I could get my hair that static.
And of course, you can't talk about 70s fashion on television without talking about the Brady Bunch.
Well, yeah. That, yeah, again, yeah. It's iconic.
So hideous.
Not necessarily for the right reasons, but iconic.
So hideous.
Is it 70s or 80s? Charlie's Angels.
70s.
Didn't that bridge over into the 80s,
the Ferris,
though?
The Farrah flip.
The Farrah part was 70s.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I can't believe we didn't even bring this up in the films. Bo Derek in 10.
Oh. Oh, you know, I had a thing of swimsuit moments, and I think that was on my list.
Well, I was speaking more specifically about her hair.
Well, yeah. Because, well, Derwood hates white chicks and cornrows.
And white people with dreadlocks. We just can't let you have
Did
one, you
know? Did you just bring a leak? What?
That was my exasperated gasp over that whole concept.
Okay.
But yeah, no, Charlie's Angels. Huge. That was huge.
Absolutely, no.
Her in the swimsuit and my brother had that poster on his wall.
So there are people to this day who still have that poster up on their wall.
I can think of are we moving into the 80s now?
Sure.
Because I've got two great television fashion things from the 80s.
Hit me.
The first would be Blair from Facts of Life.
I knew you were going to say that. Yep.
Because she, you know, totally did the, I remember she would always wear these long skirts with these boots, brown boots that went all the way up. And my cousin Joya, who was a teenager at the time, she would always dress like that. And I don't know if it was directly influenced, but, you know, I remember seeing that look. And it was kind of like a relaxed version of the Farrah with the hair and the turtleneck sweaters. And I guess they like to cover up. But the other one that I clearly remember was a huge fashion influence on people my age on television.
Cagney and Lacey?
All the girls wanted to look like Denise Huxtable.
Oh, yeah.
She was... All the Huxtable kids were so effing tacky.
And talk about that bohemian, though.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah, that was...
That episode in the first season where Lisa Bonet's got the makeup, it looks like it missed. Like, like the printer was misaligned.
But there were
eyeliner's on her cheek.
There were some episodes though where she actually did look good, and it was an oversized blazer, and it was long pearls, and it was a nice look, and it was put together. But then there were some where they just took it too far.
But right there, what you're talking about with the blazer, that is a takeoff of the Annie Hall look.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Point taken. Yeah.
You know.
And you know, Tempest Bledsoe season 4. What the fuck?
Hair. Oh. The
what
hair.
The fuck with that shaped like afro?
Looked like an eraser.
That's. What was that about?
It looked like somebody took a break while she was at the salon and just never came back. It's just like, I gotta get the set. Somebody, fuck it. No, I meant to do this.
And of course, we could do an entire podcast about the Cosby sweater.
Oh, wow. Come on now.
And least we forget the Gordon Gartrell. It's tucked into my socks.
Yeah, that was... Although, I will say Malcolm Jamal Warner had some pretty cool clothes, too.
Yeah.
But only as he got older.
Yeah. Going into the 90s.
Yeah.
Honestly, which, yeah.
Too funny. Sticking with the 80s, Dynasty.
Oh, well, that was...
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's my mother's entire look was modeled after Joan Collins.
I think that was... That had the same effect. It was a more accessible outlet. Okay, the effect that Working Girl had... I think Dynasty also had, as far as television goes, and it was more accessible because it was TV and not movies, if that makes sense.
No,
I'm not sure if I'm trying to get it wrong.
Yeah, my mom was a badass. She even wore Forever Crystal, the perfume.
Oh, good Lord.
Yeah.
Also of the time, Miami Vice.
Oh, my Lord.
T-shirts and blazers with no socks.
No socks.
Here's the thing, because that look was very costumey, which definitely got copied. But also, it definitely had the colors had that influence.
Oh.
Just wearing the blazer, rolling up your sleeves on your blazer had that influence. And loafers,
gross.
No socks.
I have lived in Miami. You do not walk around with loafers and no socks. That shit is nasty.
Yeah.
You get some moisture in there, and the pH balance is wrong, and you will start growing some shit between your toes that looks like Tempest Bledsoe's fucked up afro.
But with Miami Vice, you got... men wearing pastels.
Yeah. Which I think we learned actually, well, at least on the brothers, pretty damn good look.
You think?
You get some dark skin with a pastel.
Look, about
10 nice.
Years ago, and I've brought this up before on this podcast, about 10 years ago, I started to see a lot of black guys rocking baby pink. And
I can tell you why. There was a rapper named Cam'ron who went through a phase.
Oh, he did my theme song.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Exactly. Where he wore nothing but pink. And there are some dudes who copied that. Mm-hmm. I didn't necessarily think it was a good look.
Didn't Kanye go through a pink phase too?
Or Fitty? No, Kanye went through a, he was doing all the Louis Vuitton. Louis Vuitton Don, and he was doing that thing. But, which is still kind of effeminate too.
But, we'll get to music shortly. Yeah. But
Sticking with guys though, in that era, Magnum P.I.
Yep.
Oh, well.
All about that mustache.
All about that mustache. Indeed.
Sexy, sexy mustache. Was the mustache really sexy? Seriously.
My mother thought so.
Here's the thing. Why
was there are certain guys that can pull off the stash.
Not many, though.
Not many.
And often not the ones who try.
Yeah.
But he was one.
Tom Selleck could pull off the mustache.
I think it was...
Because it got weird. Like, when I saw him in In-N-Out.
Yeah.
Like, hey, didn't have the stash? You're like...
What's wrong with your face? What is wrong?
My world is a lie!
But I think it's because he's so much of a man... That it's like, no matter what he did, it was going to look good.
Well, he was the heir to Burt Reynolds.
Yeah.
It's like Sam Elliott.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, good call.
Sam Elliott's got to rock the stash.
Yeah.
And that man rocks a mean stash.
Oh, he's got the nice stash.
He does.
Like, I don't think I'd ever want to see him without it.
Yeah. But somebody like Leonardo DiCaprio, if you were to try that.
No stash.
That shit ain't going to work.
No.
He would look like he'd be coming door to door saying, hey, I live in your neighborhood.
Exactly. Can you please sign this?
Another big one in the 80s I'm surprised no one mentioned, Blossom.
That was the
90s.
Was it? That was late 80s. Well, then we're into the 90s.
Okay.
Yay! Okay. Well, yeah, because there are two great, because now we're into my high school years. There were two definite fashion statements from television. Saved by the Bell is actually a fair one.
Yeah.
Because I
always just like bringing it up because half the people here hate it.
Yep. But Blossom brought back the big hats, the baby doll dresses. But another one, Beverly Hills 90210.
Oh, Beverly Hills, huge.
Like, I went to high school, a bunch of girls wanting to dress like Tori Spelling and Jenny Garth and Shannon Doherty. God save them.
I think we're also forgetting another show that was on NBC on Monday nights, and that was The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
That was fashion across the board, because it represented hip-hop. It represented that preppy look also of just people wanting to get that rich look.
Uh-huh. And it's going to sound terrible what I'm about to say, but Fresh Prince of Bel-Air was really, in my estimation, the first show to show audiences that wouldn't know otherwise that black people don't all look one way.
No, you're absolutely right. You are absolutely right. And I think that was a big part of the success of that show. Yeah, because you have Will Smith. Who...
My black friend validated me.
You have the character of Will Smith, which is what all white people thought all black people just were.
Right.
Right.
You know? And then you have a character like Hillary.
Yep.
Who is like, oh shit, she's like me.
She was 90210.
Exactly, yeah. And then you have the parents, you know, who also had their own look, a respectable look, and a very real look for black people.
And Tatiana Ali.
Absolutely, yes. That younger version of, you know, what that was. And then, of course, Carlton was just his own kind of thing, which I think actually became its own look, too. Not necessarily of that time.
Right.
But later on had a huge influence.
Yeah.
In the black community as well.
Not all black nerds are Urkel.
Exactly, yes.
Well, with 90210... It brought back the sunglasses and the sideburns.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God, the sideburns, my lord.
I'm not going to lie. This may surprise you. Fuck, I can't believe I'm admitting this. I grew sideburns.
Was this when you had your fade?
When I had my fade.
And the Estelle Getty glasses?
Yeah. And I would rock the sideburns.
I've only ever known you as bald. I wish you could imagine the mental image I'm having right now of you being completely bald, but with sideburns.
Okay, but imagine this, though. Imagine my box fade, though. So it's hair on top and nothing on the sides and back. And then sideburns.
So they're just like kind of floating on your face?
Yeah, exactly.
That's
floating
hilarious.
Sideburns. Yeah. It wouldn't look so bad when the sides and the back would start growing a little bit, but yeah, floating sideburns, I would rock that look.
I rocked, after high school, I did rock the mutton chops.
Oh.
Which was one
I
of those things.
I never liked that.
Yeah, which later on I was like, why didn't anyone tell me this was a bad look? They're like,
I think my dad even said,
yeah, we wanted to find out yourself. Like, I'm like, thanks, Dad.
Sometimes you got to learn the hard way.
Yeah, sometimes you got to learn the
hard way. Especially when
I
had the mutton chops and then it started growing a goatee. And so then I only had maybe about less, like half an inch of hairless. I'm like, well, my friend even asked, why the hell did you just get out? I don't know.
Moving into now, again, it's weird. Now you have Mad Men.
Yeah.
It's like, now we've gone.
In my opinion, it's probably the biggest influence I think I've ever seen on fashion from a TV show. just with the whole retro, if you look at the way men are cutting their hair now, totally direct influence from Mad Men.
I'm very happy that look is making a comeback.
Also Mad Men, and I think also what has to do with this also is How I Met Your Mother. And you're seeing men in their evening suits now. They're wearing the suits as evening wear now.
Yeah.
Which I love personally as a great look.
And then, I mean, also looking at AMC as well, I mean, we do have the fashion of The Walking Dead and Breaking Bad.
Yeah. It kind of surprised me, but then when I thought about it, I was like, you know what? I actually agree with this. Is Charlie Sheen on 2.5 Men with the bowling shirt and the shorts. And
but I don't know if, I think he was more a reflection
Rich slob.
Yeah, he was.
But think about the bowling shirt.
I've been rocking that look before 2.5 Men came on the air. So yeah. I think that was more a reflection of.
Yeah, I think that was just a dude. Because, I mean, that's like
what
saying,
a dude wears.
Yeah. Like, that's Guy Fieri, you know, honestly.
Burn
my ass. Yeah, the day that Guy Fieri starts influencing fashion is the day I quit life.
Well, I had some other like major like things through the years, but I will go to the boy for this one because 1984, you had Madonna.
So we're in music now?
Well, not really music. Well, some music and some other stuff, but 1984, Madonna at the VMAs.
Well, yes. If I could use this as a segue. Because as far as I think you would be hard pressed, my obvious bias aside, but you would be hard pressed to find a female that influenced fashion and pop culture more than Madonna. Because if you remember back to that time, I saw girls everywhere dressing like Madonna. Yes. They all had the junk jewelry. They all had the rags in their hair. They all had the multiple belts. She was the first one to start wearing bike shorts under her skirts.
Yeah.
Oh, my and Lord, that was her.
That became a thing. And, you know, the multiple socks. It was, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it was crazy.
The closest thing in the past would have been Marilyn Monroe or Audrey Hepburn.
Yeah.
Right.
Absolutely, you know, now as is Madonna's wont, she changed her look so it became impossible to keep up with her. But even still, as the years went on, you know, mixing the masculine and feminine and underwear on the outside.
The blonde ambition.
You know, she made bustiers. Outerwear. Oh,
yeah. I forgot about that. Holy shit.
You know, and that was a huge influence in the early 90s.
Yeah, the Blonde Ambition era, which is that era with Dick Tracy and everything. Yeah. That was huge on me. That was my fashion.
No, that was your blueprint. Your look.
Yeah. I mean, when we were doing this podcast, I automatically thought of Madonna, but I only thought about that, the VMAs and the Like a Virgin thing. I forgot about how she kept on influencing our society with her fashion choices.
It's
unreal.
Yeah,
I would agree with you.
And there have been other artists over the years that have influenced fashion, but I don't think anybody has made that impact that Madonna has.
No, I definitely agree with that. If we're going to keep talking about music, let's go 1983, Michael Jackson and the Thriller video.
Everybody had to have that jacket, the Beat It jacket.
That jacket, I think that goes again to the costume things. You had to have that exact jacket. I will say this, though, the influence he had, the flood pants in the high waters, that was a thing.
The glove. People wore that single glove.
Yeah.
Loafers.
And if we want to talk about, I mean, I know we're jumping ahead a little bit, but if we want to talk
let's jump around.
Pants.
Oh, Hammer pants were a big, and it wasn't necessarily just wearing those parachute pants, but because of Hammer, that was the reason why in the hip hop world, we all started wearing our pants huge.
Yeah.
Way oversized, big and tall shops sprouted up everywhere because of MC Hammer, because people had to have their pants so oversized.
And he's a skinny dude.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
But that was the huge influence.
Staying with the Jacksons, let's talk about Janet Jackson with the Rhythm Nation earring.
The single earring. Yeah. The single earring. That is Janet
the
all
military
over.
Jackets.
Yeah. Just, yeah. Again, kind of like that.
I used to have a coworker that would work and she'd have that kind of black jacket sort of thing. And every time she wore it, I'd be like, where's the rest of the Rhythm Nation?
Yep, the hard edge.
Like feminized Janet Jackson was military awesome. Look. Yeah.
Slipping into the 90s, you have to go Kurt Cobain and the grunge era.
Yep.
Yeah.
Pearl Jam. Yeah.
Because really, I think Cobain, I think Pearl Jam
was
more
him and Courtney Love kind of get the...
But I mean, Pearl Jam, especially during Singles and Cameron Crowe, was a big thing.
Yeah.
Oh, so yeah.
Courtney Love with the broke down baby doll look. And,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, I forgot that was
Reality Bites. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, you had all that.
which I was never into, but then you go into 96 and you get Gwen Stefani and the SoCo look.
Oh my
and
God.
With
yeah,
the
that
victory
huge.
Rolls in her yeah. hair. Yep. And but she would do this great thing where she would do super feminine makeup, super high glam, super,
yep.
you know, platinum blonde curled hair. And then from the neck down, sportswear.
Yeah. Right.
Crop like, top, yeah. sweatpants.
Tomboy from the neck down. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was hot. I love Gwen Stefani, but you know, and that, yeah, I think she was a great example of that, and you saw a lot of that going on as well.
Well, what about also when you go a little bit later in the 90s and the Spice Girls?
Oh yeah,
the Spice Girls, yep. Yeah. And I think that was important, and actually keeping a little further in there, as much as it pains me to admit it, I think the credit for bringing back the Lolita look. Britney Spears.
Oh, yeah.
yeah.
Like that. That was
that was going to be my too. Next one, yeah. Baby One More Time.
Yeah.
With her in the schoolgirl outfit.
Yeah. Spice Which, Girls, Britney Spears, inspiring drag queens still to this day.
Uh huh. yep.
But see, right there, the next one you have would be Lady Gaga, mm-hmm. which really to me is not of her own making.
Well, it's, you can't emulate couture.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the thing. She is,
you know, nobody's going to be making a meat dress at Target.
Exactly. Yeah, see, that's the thing. She's so over the top, you can't copy that.
Right.
Whereas, you know, in where the other looks, it's like
why Elton John never inspired fashion.
Yep. Yeah.
Cuz it was too over the top. It was too
No, I 100% agree.
And that has its place.
Right. But, you know, when you think Gwen Stefani, there were girls that went out and did that. You don't see a lot of that with Lady Gaga's look.
Yeah, you can't.
You know what I mean?
No, yeah. You're absolutely right.
So.
But, yeah. I think it goes back to the genius of Madonna when she was first doing it. Her, in the 80s, her look was so accessible,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Well, it was thrift store chic.
Exactly.
Because she was poor.
Well, and I'll tell you, because to go back to hip-hop, and I'm going to take it back a little bit further. I don't listen to hip-hop. One of the biggest waves that I know of, coming from women anyway, was Salt and Pepa when they first dropped.
Yeah.
My favorite story is how, you know, Peppa's look was a mistake.
Absolutely.
They were bleaching out her hair and half of it fell out in the process.
They fucked up, yeah.
They screwed up. So all they could do was shave half her head, and that became the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the Dorfin earrings, the half-shaved head,
I knew white girls in my school who rocked that look.
Yeah.
It wasn't pretty, but
No, it didn't really flatter anybody. But yeah, it's so funny how, going back to what I said earlier, you can't plan a trend.
Right.
These things just kind of happen.
And then you could tell when people are trying to plan that trend,
mm-hmm.
and then it just bombs, and then you're just looking like, what the fuck was that going on there? Is that how people dressed in the 80s, Grandpa? No. No, it was not.
So, with the trends of the 80s, you know, the leg warmers with Flashdance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
gotta go there. Fingerless gloves, of course, with
Breakin'.
Parachute pants as well.
I miss those.
The one that made me cringe, and then I was like, oh God, I had like these in every color. The stirrup pant.
Oh, you had those? I never understood those. What was the point of that?
I have no idea what the point.
Swatches?
Yeah. Oh, my Lord. Oh, I love swatches.
Yeah, I have no idea what the point of a stirrup pant was, but yes, I had them in every color, and it was horrific.
Yikes.
Going into the 90s, the overalls came back.
Yeah, they did. And we were wearing them with only one strap up, too. I don't know why.
Also,
I rocked that a lot.
So did I.
The one pant leg rolled up.
Yeah, that...
That was a big hip-hop thing.
It was.
That looked like a mistake.
It's usually gang affiliation.
One of the things I love, slap bracelets. Do y'all remember slap bracelets?
I remember those.
Jesus.
Hair. Big in the 90s. First, George Clooney's
Caesar cut.
Oh,
yeah.
On ER.
On
ER, yeah.
And every old dude started rocking that, too. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
The Caesar cut especially, and then of course you have the Rachel
From Friends, yeah, that was so
which
huge.
She still is kind of rocking that same look.
Yeah,
they call it California Bohemian now.
I call it the Barbra Streisand. Seriously, Google that shit.
The flat top also big in the 90s.
Are we talking like the military flat top?
No, we're talking about like
the high top fade.
High top fades.
Oh, well, yeah,
yeah, like,
of course,
yeah.
Doc Martens and Air Jordans.
Mm-hmm.
Air Jordans are still fashionable.
He says while wearing them.
Rocking them with biker shorts?
I did.
Oh, wow. I just want to see teenage you and what a tragic mess that must be with your high top fade and your chin straps that are hanging off there and your Gordon Gartrell shirt with your biker shorts and...
I think a trend that's kind of happening now, I guess it was slightly influenced by a small populace, but because the show has become so big, the general populace is doing it, is the geek shirts from Big Bang Theory.
Oh, yeah.
Totally. Oh, yeah.
Whereas, as a geek.
And, absolutely.
You know, that we...
T. Fury owes its career to Big Bang
Theory. Flash shirt or, you know, all these different, you know, comic book shirts.
Yeah. And, with the hoodie. Yeah, and then absolutely.
The geek culture would do that, but, you know, it wasn't mainstream. And then Big Bang Theory just took off, so now everyone's wearing it.
Because of Leonard Hofstadter, I actually, one night, I rocked a blazer with a hoodie. It was actually very comfortable and it looked cool. Yeah.
And it's one of those things, some people look at people like, you don't know what that character is. I'm like, I don't give a fuck. Cool. You're sharing, you know,
exactly
that character and cool.
Well, the only thing I didn't mention that I was going to was Mr. T's gold chains. That was the...
Yeah, I remember in 1983 when I was 8 years old and had 16 gold chains and a medallion the size of a salad plate around my neck.
I'm sorry.
I was the coolest
third grader.
Says
the guy with the mohawk right now.
That's true.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Do people still not rock the medallions?
They do, but come on now.
Not to that extent.
Let's not forget Flava Flav with his, you know,
but
giant
they still do
teeth
it.
And,
yeah. Yes.
I guess the goblet's kind of a shout out to that too.
So I guess the more things change, the more they stay the same. In the future, we're all going to be dressing like Mr. T. If you liked what you heard here, you can get a dose of our funny every day on Twitter. You can follow us at PopCultureHouse, or you can follow me personally, Anthony Donovan, at Daboy, DaBoy.
I'm at Reggie Swing.
The_Warden23.
Crazed Dr. Scott.
And if there's anything we forgot, because this is a huge, expansive topic.
It was a big topic, but
please,
you boys did well.
Please feel free to complain to us.
At thehouseofpopculture@gmail.com.
Ooh, yeah.
We want to thank sound engineer Joey and everybody at Don't Panic Studios, yeah, including K-Dubs, The Dog Pound, and M Chicken Heads. And we will see you next time.
I pay the fool that don't dress like me.